Welcome back to Factory Sealed. It is, what's that say? April 4th, 2019. I don't know why I had to think about that.
I didn't think about that. That was the hottest bit.
Well, there's two fours, and that's what threw me off. I'm like, did I say it like halfway through? I'm like, did I say it right? Either way, my name is Eric Peterson. Joining me today in the flesh, within DS touching distance, Tom Reagan.
It's me, and I'm drinking like a hobo. I've got the label all covered up.
No, wait, what you're doing is you are preserving the integrity of your chill.
This is true. It's just a little bit like, you know, if I'm just hiding it, I'm keeping it enclosed.
I'm ashamed.
Yeah.
It could be water, it could be beer.
We're not sponsored as well by this particular beer, so I don't want to give it advertising, you know? So, it's one of the main reasons.
Yeah, but you see, mine... I feel kind of...
No, don't get it out.
I know, but in this particular beer, I feel treasonous.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because it's...
It's like returning to the fatherland.
Yeah. Says something about the flag. Our flag.
Beer before glory. Yeah, no. We're not gonna name it.
I wouldn't, no.
We're not gonna name it because it's not as good as Old Glory. So, yeah, you're true. Here in Phoenix with me.
Heck yeah.
Surprise.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah.
This is awesome.
I don't think we told anybody you were coming, did we?
No, complete surprise to everyone including me. I didn't know that I was coming here until 2 weeks ago, maybe.
Yes.
Yeah, probably.
We've known you were coming for a lot longer.
Yeah. So I thought originally I was going back to the UK, had everything prepared for that, and then turns out coming to America instead. It was a well-kept secret between Eric and my fiancé.
Cat. You gotta start practicing that word, fiancé.
I can't get it. It too sounds too, like, it just doesn't work.
Just call her your finance. Like, just rearrange the words a little bit.
Yeah, she's an accountant.
She's my finance.
She's my finance. Been together a long time.
She gives me the dollars.
Yeah, we're very much financially committed. So therefore, she's now my finance.
What's hers is hers, and what's mine is hers.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're good.
Yeah.
Happy to be here.
Yeah.
It's good weather, too, which is always a plus, because Canada's not known for its top-notch weather.
No, you have about a two-week period in the summer that is tolerable.
Yeah, 10 months of winter, 2 months of mild summer.
Just in time to, like, unpack your shorts and ride the bicycle to the grocery store and call it a day.
Yeah. And the hat, if you're watching.
I was going to say, tell me about your hat. Tell me about
this. I feel like this needs to be addressed because we could just go the whole show without mentioning the fact that we're wearing really goofy hats. I don't even know. This is just given to me.
It's just,
literally 20 minutes ago.
I call it my sausage hat.
I've not even looked at it, apart from on camera. So I'm just feeling around
like
for the detail.
Like, if you turn your head to the right more, there's a feather.
It's got a feather.
There's a feather with a pin.
Yeah. And then it's got a bit of a peak to it. You know?
I think that peak is largely there because your head's too big for it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I've never been told that my head's been too big.
That's how small this hat is.
Yeah. It must just be either a really small hat or I have a really big head.
It's German. It looks like it's a German hat. Like, you'd be right in place in... an Oktoberfest.
I have to ask where you got it from.
So,
what's the story behind
my friend, my best friend from high school, his mom's side of the family is 100% German.
Mm.
And they came over and gave it to him. And then somehow it ended up with me. So it's a German hat. It's from Germany.
Oh, it is actually legit. Actually, I just thought you were saying that.
I think it says something.
Oh. It's Marshall Bones.
Yeah, look at this. I can't read this,
Give me mein hat back.
Un hatten Sie mein Leben. Which roughly translates to, I love my hat.
Oh.
which I think is wrong.
No, you're close. You got the verb for love, yeah. You could have loved something else.
Mein Leben! My labia?
I think so. Ich liebe dich. I love you.
Ich liebe dich.
Yeah. Someone German can correct me on this.
In Schlief?
Not sure what the audience is.
In Schlief ohnen mein Lederhosen?
Something about leather pants.
I sleep in my leather pants.
Sleep? Oh, yeah, of course.
Ich habe un Panzerfaust in mein Hosen.
Welcome to the Factory Sealed Languages podcast.
Where I only know how to say wildly inappropriate things in other languages.
Yeah, that's pretty much it, right?
I just explained to Tom that I have a bazooka in my pants.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Nice. Yeah. When I was in Germany, I did the usual thing. They gave me bitch, fuck, shit.
The essentials.
They gave me all the stuff I needed. And so I'm like to me it sounds not like nothing, so I'm just shouting it around. And all these guys are like laughing. It must just sound insane to them. It's this random foreign guy shouting bitch and fuck.
With a
and
British
stuff,
accent.
With a British accent. So they're just like, they're all laughing probably at me, and I'm like, screw it.
They, whatever.
This doesn't mean anything.
Just own it.
Yeah. So yeah, and we're live on Twitch, so thank you if you're joining us.
Sorry if my boobs are sticking. This shirt is a little tight.
You're not used to the tight.
I'm not. Mike bought me this shirt for my birthday.
I like this shirt.
And it's a small.
Yeah.
And I typically wear large, but I'm transitioning to mediums.
You're just like, yeah, you're going down. You're going to get, you know, you're going to hug the body a little more. You're going to...
But I have, like...
You're going to show off the... the nipples. The nipples won't come out in a large. Now you can really show them off. Like, I have real nipple problems with white t-shirts.
So my nipples right now are covered by Tiny Head Man, which is not a good... Yeah. And then the aptly named Shelf Man. Right there.
Oh
yeah.
My God.
Right there.
Love it.
Thanks, Mike.
Loaf Man, Profanity Man, Sausages Man. All the best men available.
And Man Man.
And Man Man. That's one of my faves.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mega Man, the Capcom missed an opportunity to go a bit stupid with it.
I'm glad as a child I was not aware that I could send my ideas to Capcom for Robot Masters.
Could you do that?
That's how most of them were made.
Really?
Yeah, they were all fan submissions.
What?
Yeah, just the names.
They couldn't think of Airman themselves? Oh, guys, we can't, how are we gonna
have to... The brightest minds in Japan!
Airman!
Brilliant!
That guy!
That kid from Illinois!
Yeah!
Oh! Great honor to his family!
What's he's... Flashman? Shit! These guys...
Iceman? Oh!
Fire? Ice?
Fly him over here! Make him CEO!
Get them over to the studios. Right now. Have them sit down with our artists. Have them sketch out what Iceman could possibly look like. No flames, just icicles.
What's his skill? Get this. He shoots ice!
Only the most freezing of temperatures. God damn it.
I would have had
some... no idea.
I would have had some ridiculous characters. Most of my submissions probably would have revolved around, like, Boner Man, Testicle Man.
Yeah. I would have thought it might be interesting if they'd gone for something a bit more mood orientated, you know, like Anxious Man. He's like a little
his fingernail.
He's like really unsure about you turning up.
Introvert Man. You come through the door and he cancels plans on you. It's like, sorry, boss fight cancelled.
Yeah. He's flaky, so like there's a 1 in 3 chance that you don't fight him and you just finish the level. Actually higher odds than that, 2 in 3.
Boasting Man. Yeah. Oh, my weapon's way better than yours. Oh, you jumped that pit? I jumped it twice.
Yeah, yeah. so many good ones.
This is, again, why we are not allowed to design video games.
Yeah, it probably wouldn't go down well.
It would not go down well. I'm trying to find our Twitch chat, because my eyes, well, they've been lasered. I can't quite see.
I can see writing on our chat.
You know what, Tom?
I can see things happening. And I, you know...
The monitor is on a mount, like on an arm.
You can pull towards you.
I'm not going to move closer to the screen. I'm going to make the screen come to me, the American way.
That makes sense.
That's a bad idea. I forgot I have lighting. So I'm just going to need to download the Twitch app on here. But we are live on Twitch right now, twitch.tv twitch.tv/factory_sealed. Think we'd have this
God
stuff.
Damn it, yeah. No.
You think we'd have this
there's
stuff
always,
ever.
There's always something that we haven't quite nailed. I have the Twitch app on my phone, but I don't know.
Why do I not have it on my iPad? Again,
also,
unprepared.
We are streaming The Chronicles of Riddick, Escape from Butcher Bay, not facing off against Father Gascon, or Eric plays Sekiro for Tom at work, or Let's Play Vampire, or it's actually Sekiro, or
really,
whatever.
I'm so bad at Twitch. I would never be offered partnership.
We're still learning, yeah. This has been around.
But hey, you never know what you're going to get. Like, oh, that looks interesting. You come in and it's cross-stitching.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm now stitching.
Tom, tell us about that. Tom has now transitioned from a well-successful early 30s web developer to fully retired 80-year-old woman.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Okay, 77.
All right, I'll take it. Sub-80.
Yeah, sub-80. Like, you're getting into the moo-moos. Like, 6 o'clock rolls around, clothes come off, moo-moo dress comes on, you get into your favorite chair.
Got a big blanket.
Blanket that you've crocheted yourself.
Yeah, slippers. Not going to go with the pipe, it's 2019, you know.
Yeah.
Probably vaping.
The vape pipe, have you seen that yet?
No, but I can imagine it exists.
Talk about ridiculous.
Yeah. And, yeah, well, okay, I was, very briefly, I was sick from work, just bored.
Sick.
Yeah, sick.
Sick of work.
Sick of work.
That's what it was, that's what it was. But there's not an option for that when you call out.
No, I can't be like, hi guys, I'm not going to be in the office today. I'm kind of sick of you guys, and so I'll be in tomorrow.
I'm not sure how to say this, but like, your face, I don't want to see it.
Yeah.
Does that, like, is that enough? Do I need a doctor's note for that?
I wonder if they'd respect the honesty, because every boss knows.
I know, sure as hell. If I ran a store or a business and someone's like, you know what, I just don't want to fucking see you today. Like, alright.
Yeah.
See you tomorrow.
Okay. I'll see you tomorrow. I get it. You know, you're having a rough time. It happens.
I can't even find the app store on this thing. Sorry, continue your...
It's called App Store, but basically...
Ah, that was my mistake.
It's not the Play Store. You're thinking of Google.
Oh.
You've put it in a stock folder, probably. But,
I can't figure this out.
I was sick. I didn't want to do anything. I felt so ill, I didn't want to play games. That's when you know you're ill. That's my barometer.
Oh my god,
that's my
yes.
barometer. If I get up and I'm like, oh, I can't even work or play a game. No, that's fine. Neither's happening. Nothing.
So what should we do instead? Sleep? Watch a movie? No, how about we skip the next 4 decades of our life?
Yeah, totally. Let's just cut all this crap out. Right,
and just I will instead... straight to both feet in the grave and just wait for death to claim me.
Yeah, and let's pick up some needle and thread and have a go and see what I can do. See what I can make. And yeah, 2 days later, 3 days later, made little Mega Man.
Woo!
And I was like, oh, here we go.
And did you even bring it to show me?
I did not.
I
should have brought it. Why didn't I do that?
Son of a bitch.
Someone comment why didn't I do that? Be nice. And
Shelfman's not happy about that. This is so tight. It's so ridiculously... Like, I breathe and it hurts.
You're fine. You're good. You're good. It's good.
Anyways.
And, and then I made a Solid Snake codec stitch. That was my latest one. Now I'm doing another thing. And, yeah, I love it, man. I'm just hooked on this little craft. It's good fun. I'm in a Discord chatting all the ladies. Let's face it, they're all ladies. It really is 99%.
They all say
ladies.
That they're in their early 30s, but they're all in their late
60s. It's ladies and me, yeah. Yeah.
And you even had a nice old lady send you something.
Yeah.
Do you know how old she was?
No. You know, they are actually about 25 to 35. I'm not kidding. They all play Skyrim and stuff.
What?
Yeah, they're all gamers. Because it's not cross-stitch community, it's pixel stitch. They're all gamers into stitching.
I see.
Right. It's good fun. I'm having a good time with it. Yes, I brought it with me. Yes, I did it on the flight. Yes,
next
that's
to
lame.
Just the... Next to the most interesting person.
Yeah, who clearly was like, probably wasn't on board with me doing that. And, it's a good time. And I'm looking forward to hitting up craft shops in Phoenix.
Tom flew to Phoenix to go to Joann Fabrics.
That was the prime reason.
Yeah.
The Joann Fabrics, seeing the cat, Ratchet, and this guy.
Except you... What's the word I'm looking for? You snubbed him.
No.
Twice!
Yeah, no. There's reasons, though. And it's not a snubbing. I'm just being protective of the one cable I brought with me. He chews through cables, this cat.
He's, certain cables.
I love him, but he will destroy your possessions. And so you have to be a little careful.
Listen, in this house, you own nothing.
You have to be a little... I was like, okay, I'm closing the door. It's fine. He can come in later. And also, you know, yeah, I snubbed him out of the bathroom. I didn't want to shower with him in. What if he, like, comes in? What if he, like... You know, what if he wants to leave, rather? You know, he starts scratching the door, I'm in the shower. I don't want to be naked next to the cat, it's too weird.
How is that weird?
You know when you're naked and a cat comes in, you're like, oh man, I wonder what he's thinking.
I mean, when you're doing the horizontal tango and they're just laying on your pillow.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I think that's where I was going
with
that.
Yeah,
yeah. It's like the cat's just
sat there. You're
going
and you look up and they're just staring at you like, are you done yet? You're like, no, I'm not! Let me enjoy this!
Yeah. So, yeah, just get, you know, I think you gotta keep a little line, you know? I gotta keep a little line there. I wanna keep him, you know...
We'll you think he's judging you silently, like if he saw you without your clothes, he'd be like,
I want him to see me at my best.
That's why he chewed a hole in your shirt.
my shirt was the victim of today. Who knows what it will be tomorrow.
So Sanny72 says, what's up with those goofy hats? I don't think we touched on mine though.
We briefly explained mine. It's a German hat. It's Eric's. I've been wearing it for the last 25 minutes. It's warm, but I'm enjoying it.
Keeps your ears.
I like it.
Yeah, see?
I like it. Hides my...
It makes you taller.
Bad hair, so yeah.
Yeah.
And now your hat.
Mine.
A story, but it looks like a golfing hat.
I have pants. I should have wore the pants with it, too.
Yeah, I forgot that you have the same...
I have the pants for it. This is when I host or sponsor golf outings for local school districts, like their charity events. Mm. I dress up as stupidly as possible.
Oh.
Because I want to stand out.
Why am I not surprised?
Yeah. So, year after year, I wear the same goofy stuff, and people are like, oh, I remember you, Sweela! And this one's been the biggest hit, because the pants are obnoxious. Like, it actually looks... It's deceiving to your eye from a distance, because it looks like Hubert's level.
Yeah,
and
I was about to say.
It looks actual three-dimensional.
It's cool.
And it's just obnoxious.
Right, for people just listening, the colors. It's like cyan, magenta, and yellow, I guess.
Yeah.
They're like, there's like the print colours.
Yeah, horrid.
It's the print form. I like it. And it says Royal and Awesome on the side.
I know, it's from England.
Is it? Yes! Yes! I mean, yeah. I'm trying to, like, I feel like my voice is changing gradually as I live.
It's that North American gravel.
Something's coming through, yeah. Something's coming through when I... You're conscious of people not totally understanding the way you pronounce certain things, so you kind of compensate. You know, you might go up a little bit on the end of a word, or you might, like, round off the T because they don't, like, hardly pronounce them.
And before you know it, saying oregano and herb.
Can't wait to say y'all, look, I'm from, I was born in England, living in Canada, taught Latin from the South.
Decided to relocate here to Alabama.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we are, you're here for a week.
A good amount of time. Do you know what? Am I here, is it the same amount of time as when we were here? It is longer.
It's 2 days longer.
Good lord.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm excited.
We're going to a hockey game. Yeah. I tried to convince Tom to go shooting with some coworkers at a abandoned quarry.
It's like... Well,
he had sniper rifles and pistols. You could have your pick of the litter.
I know.
A pink pistol.
No. Why do you keep thinking I would shoot the pink one?
Because it would be awesome.
No.
Think of the profile picture.
Okay.
You could have, like, you could hold it and, like, have your pinky up.
Mm.
And, like, have that really, like...
Doing it for the gram would be one thing. Oh, yeah, that would be cool.
It's too late. He's already out. He's already came up and he left his guns at home.
That's fine. What's anyone saying? I can't read.
So Scott's on there.
Oh, Scott. He's going to have a right pop at me now for not shooting.
Yeah.
Tom, you have to go shoot some guns. I knew he'd say that.
Oh, man.
There's no way he wasn't.
We should have had Scott fly down.
Yeah, we should have.
Because
he was like, what did he say? The three of us were playing Apex Legends, and he was like, time you gotta shoot some guns, it's the best feeling. Nothing feels quite like it.
You're not shooting anything.
I know he doesn't speak like that. I'm just putting on a different voice than my own. But he's got the Wisconsin drawl.
A little slower.
He got a little... I like it. It's like a soothing voice.
Not like mine.
Love you, Scott.
No, not like mine.
Yeah, no. Not like yours.
Yeah, I've got, the abrasive...
Yeah.
Yours is abrasive. Hi, guys! I'm from Wisconsin!
Yeah.
That's me.
I'm gonna become a newscaster.
Woo!
Everyone trusts this tone.
Thank God I'm not from Boston. Yeah, we're gonna go to a hockey game. We are going to go throw some hatchets. Axes, actually. We're going to go get our God of War on.
I'm excited.
That's kind of becoming a big thing. Like, they look like gun ranges.
Yeah.
But you get axes, and there's, like, tree stumps down there that are hung on the wall, and you just huck an axe at it for an hour and a half.
I think they give you a little tutorial.
I don't want it.
Of course you
don't. No, I seriously don't want the tutorial.
What could the tutorial be? Other than don't hold the blade.
Yeah, so like, this looks like an axe. The goal, this goes into here, huck it. How hard can it be?
Because, surely, this is the weighted part, right? The blade is the weighted part.
So it's all about how fast you spin it.
Yeah, it's gonna...
I guess we'll find out, but it's BYOB. So we're gonna bring some beer.
Oh, yeah, that's a good shout.
How is that even a thing? That'd be like, hey, gun range, bring your own beer, whee!
Oh, I know. It's common in, it's common in some restaurants in England.
Yeah, Corkfee.
Yeah.
Well, that way they don't need to have their off license.
Yeah, at Indian restaurants normally, it's bring your own beer. They don't have the license for them.
Yeah.
But not, like, activity things. Like, arcade bar or pistol range or whatever. That would be dangerous.
Hell yeah.
Can you drink at a range? A gun?
We could drink in that quarry.
No.
You could take a huge slam of a beer, go, woo, fuck it! Blow up the bottle and then just unload.
I would feel bad if I hit someone. Can you imagine what a bummer that would be on my holiday?
Just get a bad ricochet.
Sir, we're gonna have to deport you from the continent.
I'm from Canada. No.
Don't care.
No, go back.
Go back to the Royals.
They don't want you either.
Yeah. What? Oh, people are saying things. Remember Tom's storylines happen to other people. Yeah.
The good this ship. That's true. Juliet, isn't it?
Yeah,
I think
it is.
So.
Drinking and sharp things.
I don't, so I've looked at a picture. One of our friends just did this, and it actually looks like a place where you'd go to mass kill zombies.
What? Where? Sorry.
Throwing axes.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So it's like this lane with chain link fences and plywood pushed up against the side of it. I don't think I think the only person you have a chance of hitting is yourself.
Mmm. Yeah. But I agree. Drinking and sharp things is quite the combination.
We'll live stream some of it.
Why not?
Yeah. There'll be plenty of drinking and throwing sharp knives. They're big axes, too. They're not just like these are God of War style axes.
Yeah. Yeah, they look.
Every time I throw it,
I've Googled it.
Boy!
Yeah. Yeah, for added realism, every time I throw it, you can just act disappointed in me. Every time I just.
Yeah. You don't understand.
Yeah. Oh, Tom, I think I'd injure myself out of fear. Yeah. Yeah, I think gotta just remain confident and pretend like I know exactly what I'm doing.
Hell yeah.
Just hook it.
And then if you get that bullseye first throw, just walk out.
Yeah, like, I retire as champ.
Yep, never done this. Yeah. That's what I've done with Tetris 99.
No, this is what I do.
I got my win after 5 games, done. I'm the best.
What I do with Kat when we play... So we're playing Boggle, right? And she always beats me at Boggle. There's a few games where she always beats me, and Boggle, Scrabble, those are the ones, word games or mathematics.
Ones that require intelligence.
Yeah, okay. Right, yeah. I'll admit it, right? She's just better, right? But every now and again, I'll take the crown. And you know what I do after that?
Quit playing.
Retire as champ. And there's nothing that winds her up more. Like, oh, I guess I'm the champion now at that, and we'll never know who could ever have been the champion. And the reaction,
even though it's
golden.
2 years in the making,
yeah, and it's too good. I just can't pat. It's too easy to
you gotta do it.
Yeah,
you gotta
I
do
love it.
It.
I love it.
So yeah, there's been a lot of gaming stuff that's happened in the past 3 weeks. We're a week behind.
Yeah, we are. I'm sorry that we've been so. We've struggled to come together at the right time. The stars didn't align for us to all record at the same time, so...
Life got in the way.
I think a lot of us were pretty busy at work, actually.
Oof, I still am.
Yeah. And then just trying to find the time in the evening to play, and...
We were going to record this morning, but my phone wouldn't stop. So we decided to do it tonight.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, so... We are recording this tonight, and then we are doing our next show in 3 days.
We're doing them pretty quick, yeah.
So we have to go finish Zone of the Enders after this.
Yeah, Zone of the Enders is the next game.
Fortunately, I'm already halfway through it. Over halfway, so...
I'll have to just hit
You can
control.
Pull, like, an even more dedicated Dan and just watch me play it. Like, be there while someone's playing it.
Yeah, like when Dan does all the Let's Play stuff, you know, when he just watches Let's Plays.
Yeah, that's how he gets through games so quickly. He'll have like 4 monitors up and just watching all the games. Like, done.
Can't believe he does that. Crazy.
Started with Full Throttle and it's just been downhill since then. Poor guy. Think if he actually played him, he might enjoy him.
This is what I keep saying.
Yeah. I get it.
Jesus.
Oh god, Scott just sent us a picture.
Is it...
I don't want to
just see. Guns?
It's him with guns.
I was right.
Yeah,
it's Scott with guns.
With lots
I really
of guns.
Like the gun in his left hand.
You could have shot one of
I
those.
I know, but I'm just... Aesthetically, I like the look of it. Probably weighs a lot. I can't...
No, they're pretty light.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh. Gotta be able to run with them.
Don't call them assault rifles for nothing. Not protection rifles.
So what's happened in the past 2 weeks? There's actually been a lot of gaming news.
There was
happened.
A lot we missed.
So we had the Nintendo Direct.
Yeah.
We had the Google or the Google. Nintendo State of Play. I'm sorry, the Sony State of Play.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the Google Stadia.
Yeah. And then in terms of order of announcement, I think the Stadia was probably the first thing sort of kind of 20
previously known as Project Stream.
Yeah, which kind of gives away exactly what the whole thing is, right?
I'm just going to get this out of the way.
Yeah.
It's a dumb name.
Stadia?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's a dumb
I don't
name.
Get it. I've not even Googled if it's what it's from. Is it, like, Latin?
Like, is it...
What is it? Has it got any double meaning? Is it... Maybe someone
I'm sure in
help,
some language
can
it
help
means
me out
penis
there.
Or something. Yeah, I don't know, but I'm thinking, like, maybe it's a play on, like... The word stadium, but they're going to pluralize it
because
it's like a bunch of stadiums. You watch these people play. Who knows?
Yeah. Radiant Historia. I'll let that one.
It goes to stadium. Stadia. A method of surveying in which distances are read by noting the interval on a graduated rod intercepted by... That's not what it is. I'm pretty sure that's not what Google Stadia is.
No. Not even close. And it's a must. You will ghost attack in your pants, Tom. You will never feel so much freedom. That's real talk, son.
Son.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's talk about Stadia because they got on stage and they showed it was pretty flashy.
Yeah, it was. It was. That's the thing. They presented it well. Like all these things. I mean, you put your best foot forward and only show what looks best on stage to everyone high up involved and people that owning the shareholders and so on. Like, I get it. You're going to make a big song and dance about your new product and entering a new market for the first time. I mean, I don't know if maybe the Ouya was a thing that ran Android, but wasn't Google,
no.
Was it?
No.
So really this is actually Google's entering the sort of
it's them getting
pseudo,
into the...
not console market, but it's a platform, I guess.
They're getting into the gaming market.
They are. And they're kind of like just... I don't know, it's like they just whacked out their balls on the table, like, boom, here we are, putting all our money forward, like, boom, let's just push everything into this, and then if in 6 months or a year it doesn't work, we'll just pull the plug.
And that's what Google's known for.
So many of our products, and that is what Google are known for, and they can afford to do that. That's what they do.
But even things that are great, they just stop supporting.
2 days ago, they stopped supporting an app called Inbox, which is kind of a derivative of Gmail, which I used every day, and now it's gone. And instead, they tried to bring features of Inbox into Gmail. Okay, fine, but it's not the same. And Google Buzz, Google Wave, Currents, Video, because obviously they bought YouTube.
Google Plus.
Google Plus. Let's not forget Google Plus. Google Glass. Okay, Glass was a...
That was Microsoft.
No.
Oh, I'm thinking the HoloLens.
The glasses. Yeah.
You're right.
And the glasses was a kind of a cool concept, but just, you know, didn't work and wasn't executed well and kind of probably looked a bit ridiculous.
Picasa,
yeah.
What else was there? Google Moderator. Yep, Google Glass. Bump and Flock.
Oh my god.
You remember that?
Yeah. And, okay, I'll be real, like, some of these are real small fry and not a huge deal, and, like, pulling the plug on a gaming platform is a much bigger deal than pulling the plug on Buzz, or, you know, but Google Plus, very big. That was their answer to Facebook. It was called Google Circles originally.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, this is the social network, like, the killer app.
But they did nothing to promote it.
No, and it was so confusing.
I remember trying to set my first name. Like, what? What are these circles? Why am I in a circle?
And it was like conflicting with your Google profile and your email. It was like pulling in from everything, and like it's worrying. I also just don't feel like they've earned their stripes in the market, in the gaming market. Like,
but what is?
It just feels so much like they're just bulldozing their way through, whereas companies like Sony and Microsoft were slowly turning the dial with PlayStation Now and Game Pass. So they're making the slow adjustment, right? We're getting this nice transition where we can still enjoy the way we currently play games, and we can still look at the possible future options, and we're also considering infrastructure here too. So it's like, hey, if your connection is good enough and you have everything, your system's strong enough, here's an option for you, like Games Pass and Now, which aren't great, I know, but it's a start. But you've also got other options, you know? Whereas Google was just like, there's this one thing, and it is for one market, one person. And to be quite frank, I still don't really know who that person is. I still don't really know. Because if you're hardcore, you're going to want 4K with all the frames. And you're just not going to get that.
Which they claim it can do.
But like...
On 25 meg internet, they claim it can do full...
Yeah, I want to believe it, because there's
clearly super smart people. I can barely watch a YouTube video.
Yeah, I know, and I'm on 1 gig down.
Yeah, me too. I'm 1 gig down, 500
up. And 500 up, yeah. I think I'm like 400 up or something, but still, like, I would have what I consider to be quite an exceptional connection.
So, here's my thoughts on it. I think Stadia it's that catalyst within a market that you need.
Yeah.
It's like a rejuvenation.
Yeah.
I don't see it being the next big thing. I don't see Sony and Nintendo disappearing as a result of Stadia.
No. Because of
the limitations. The network infrastructure worldwide just isn't there.
Yeah.
To support that. Even though they say that you're going to be able to run 1080p or 4K 60 frames, you're not going to get that reliably, as if you were to just plug a game into a console, connect it to your 4K HDR TV, boom, you got it.
I think it's so easy to think, like, that the world is just these heavily populated metropolitan areas and nothing else. But it's like, there are millions and millions of people in Middle America and all over the world.
And that's what it's ultimately going to boil down to. You know? It's like, it's going to work really well for a small portion of people, and they're going to say, this is fantastic,
yeah,
and the
course.
Other 80% are going to go, it's okay, but... I think who this is really going to target is the people who don't have the funds or the means to stay up to date on current consoles and go out and buy all the games or update their PC and do all of that stuff. I honestly, as a parent, I think this would be a fantastic option instead, and say, you know what? Yep. Here, let's get you a subscription to Stadia.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what games are going to be coming to this. Clearly, it's going to be all third-party stuff, but...
Yeah, like they're showing the typical flagship, you know, Assassin's Creed and major FPS games, like, you know, the kind of stuff that's multi-platform and everyone knows, and so you can easily benchmark it against other things. And
I think in terms of the catalyst for this disrupting the gaming market is that it's going to show Sony and Nintendo, hey, this is important.
Yeah.
Streaming is important. And Microsoft has already... I'm sorry, I should have included Microsoft in that, but Microsoft has already done this in that they're successful with Game Pass.
Yeah.
Game Pass is phenomenal for one reason. Yeah. You download the game.
Yes.
It resides...
It's on your system, locally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. Because if you are on a slow connection, okay, you can download that game over the course of a day or two. Like, you can download it in portions. Like, you could pause the download and resume. Like,
or you can download a bunch of them and max out your data cap.
Oh, you can do that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and also, it's like, I don't know, with there's more loyalty, years and years of loyalty with Microsoft and Sony, you know? So as they bring in these new features, you're like, okay, like, I will join this brand on this road. Like, I'm a Sony guy. Like,
yeah,
clearly. I'm a PlayStation person through and through, so if PlayStation bring a new service out, and they're like, hey, this is where we're investing, we're thinking of, you know, gamers first for the players, all the usual stuff. Like, that feels like a nice transition. Google's just a bit like, they're like a wrecking ball. And in some ways, I agree in the sense of you saying, look, by them being on the map now, the others are going to be looking at that and think, well, okay, this is where they're going. How can we incorporate something of that into what we're doing? Because PS Now is a bit of a joke. Like, in the industry, it seems like.
Well, Sony was used it. They were. We have to give them credit for it. They were visionary in what they were attempting to do.
Yeah, yeah.
The infrastructure wasn't there at the time.
No.
The prices were astronomical.
Yeah.
Just to rent this game was a third the cost to buy it for 2 hours. Like, this is ridiculous.
Oh, yeah, that was terrible.
You could rent it hourly, so daily, weekly, or monthly.
Yeah, they were all over the place. I remember that.
And it was purely streaming. Is PlayStation Now download now, or is it still stream? That I'm not sure.
I'm not sure. I feel like it's still stream, but I don't quote me on that. And I guess it's worth probably just throwing in Mike's point of view as well, just briefly. Like, Mike was saying that
the loud guy,
you remember him? He was like, you know, makes a point of someone has to start somewhere. You know, someone has to introduce this to the world. And I get that, but maybe it is the right time. That's it's timing, because let's not forget OnLive introduced it to the world.
Yeah,
and I used OnLive very briefly just to kind of, because I thought it was kind of neat. What was neat about OnLive was you had these on your browser, and that was the other thing, you played games like in your browser, all these tiles of like games where like stuff was and no animated things are happening.
Mm-hmm.
You click on one game and that just went full window.
Yeah, it was great.
It was neat, and my connection at the time was ready for it, because I've always put that at the forefront of like when it came to
what's
stuff
important
that we
had, for you
it
utilities.
Was important to me in my house was always like strong internet, and it hasn't always been the case, but like OnLive was great but didn't survive. I think it came back briefly and didn't survive.
Real quick, Zach said that PlayStation Now is download for PS4 only because it can't emulate the PS3.
Oh, okay.
So,
okay.
I assume that means you stream your PS3 stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think you're right, though, in the fact that Google, they have the pockets.
They do. They're deep,
and
deep
and they're
pockets.
They're looking at this multi-billion-dollar industry and saying, how can we get a piece of it? And they go, ugh, and just fall into the middle of it, and just everything is rippling out now.
Yeah.
And people are kind of like shaking off the dust, going, okay, is that worth being concerned about?
Yes.
And frankly, I don't think it is. I think it's important to note and be like, oh, look, this fell in the middle of us. Let's pay attention to it, but let's not all try to emulate it. And that's pretty indicative of the technology industry as a whole. You know, the early 2000s, when a new tech came out, everybody else latched on and they tried to emulate it.
Yeah.
And then when somebody bought it, everybody else bought it because that person, it spread, and you see it in the schools with technology.
Yeah,
and
of course.
And now we're at this point where people are going, okay, we bought into something that was a hot pile of garbage, so when something new hits the table, everybody's a little standoffish about it, and they're like,
yeah. My
not sure about this.
My brother's partner's a teacher, and they started using the smart boards instead of whiteboards. The early ones were terrible.
And they still are.
You would write on a, like, lag, like, while you're writing. Like, that's no good for anyone.
And schools now are transitioning to interactive flat panels, and people are going, well, we bought a bunch of smart boards 15 years ago, and they were trash.
We spent money on them, and they a lot of money, because they don't buy one. Yeah. They buy hundreds.
Thousands.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I think that's important that Google has done this. I think the gaming industry, yeah. I don't think it was stagnating, but I just don't think it was innovating.
Innovating as much, yeah.
You know, it was great. Game Pass came in. It took a while to find its feet. PlayStation Plus has always been great. It's had its ups and its downs.
Yeah.
Nintendo needs to figure out how to sell games at a lower cost. They need to figure out their eShop. You know, we're at their...
Definitely.
What is this, the third generation of Nintendo that has an online console?
Wii U, yeah.
Fourth, technically, with the 3DS.
3DS, yeah. Yeah.
Their online infrastructure is trash.
It is. And Sony's didn't get better until the PS4. I mean, yeah.
And even still, arguably, it's kind of bad.
It is. But I remember the PS3 was rendered in a browser. PS3 store was rough.
Yeah, it was.
Especially in the early days.
And then when they updated it to the new visual effect, it was so slow. You're like, open store, I'm going to go make dinner.
Yeah, exactly. So, but there are, I think there's two SKUs to, there's one that's the technology side of it, and then the other one is, we all use Google every day, and we're under no illusion that they're farming massive amounts of data and getting to know everybody. I mean, that's why it's
free. Who cares?
You know, we know that's why it's free. they're making a ton of money off each and every one of us by what we're searching and what we're doing. To then bring that over into gaming, it's at this point you're just a total open book. And, like, that can be understandably concerning to a lot of people. Like, sometimes you just don't want that. And that aggressive marketing that you're going to get targeted through just playing games where you want to just be, I don't know if we really want that. And there's an evil side to this. I just think Google, I like Google's products and I use them, but they're not the nicest company with their practices.
No.
The other thing is digital rights. You don't own that game. This is another big problem. And especially if people listen to our podcast, like, you know, we're retro game people. Like, we like collecting.
That wall over there is 1,000 games. Yeah. I want physical copies of stuff.
Yeah, like, you want to know it's yours.
Zach makes a good point in the chat. He says the disruptive part is only to publishers and hardware makers. Developers just have to make a PC game. Stadia servers do everything else, which is great. Mm. However, have you ever bought a console because you want to play third-party games?
No, never.
You buy a console for first-party games.
Yeah.
So that's
because
why...
that's how you choose.
Exactly. Right. Do I want to play Halo and Gears, or do I want to play everything else that's good?
Yeah.
That's why I don't think you see Microsoft, Nintendo, and Sony trembling as much. Sure, they may lose some third-party sales, but, you know, then there can be that incentive of, hey, don't publish it on Stadia, and we'll give you extra XYZ whatever.
Yeah.
I'm not as concerned about it as initially. I don't think this is going to be the be-all, end-all future of gaming. I don't think you're going to see consoles disappear from the home anytime soon. I don't think you're going to see us go to a purely streaming box. Yes, Xbox is coming out with the Stream console.
Yeah.
I
don't think we're going to lose touch anytime soon of having a box connected to a TV. You know, or even a stick in the TV.
Yeah.
At most. Or an app. I don't know.
I just need my physical medium.
I think we're too far from not having a box in front of your TV that still powers local. I see, obviously, because Microsoft are moving for this digital-only consoles, right? Yeah. I see that being a thing in near future.
I think we've got one
that
more...
download local files.
I think we've got at least one more generation of physical medium. I don't think...
Yes, definitely.
I don't think digital only has been around long enough for people to be comfortable with it. Because it came through about a quarter of the way into the 360 and PS3 lifecycle. It started with, like, the Xbox Live Arcade games and some of the indie stuff from...
like Super Meat Boy and stuff.
Yeah, or like Echo Chrome and Pixel Junk Eden and stuff like that on PS3. Which was great, but then, you know, they started publishing AAA first-party titles. I've never purchased day one a AAA title digital only, and I never will.
Oh my god, no way.
I never will.
Who does? I really want to know who does, like, genuinely. Who can't just...
If you do that, send us an email or comment somewhere and just let us know why. Like, I'm genuinely curious as to why.
Yeah, I'm curious as to why.
Mike had a good point, though. Like, I can understand why he does for his Switch, because he takes a Switch with him driving.
I was literally about to say, for, he bought Smash Brothers Digital, and when he... I was at first bamboozled as to why you'd do that, but then it totally... It made sense for a couple of reasons, actually. The first is, yeah, he's on the road a lot, and so he always has it with him. The second is, a game like Smash or Mario Kart that has a huge lifespan...
You just want it with you.
You want it with you all times, and it's and you're always going to want to play Smash or Kart with people.
I didn't have Mario Kart with me when I went back to Wisconsin and wanted to play it.
Yeah. Very specific games with very specific
but on a home series, console that never moves.
Yeah. The only, buying a sports game brand new digitally. Who would do that?
The only,
please email.
The only, the only argument I've ever heard about it is like, I just don't want to have to change discs all the time. Like,
I get that. I get that. I also get the convenience. My brother has a Switch and he buys all digital, actually. He bought Mario Odyssey, Kart, and Mario Party. All of them like $59.99. And he, it's for him, it's he's quite minimal, like a minimalist. Like, he has very little stuff in his house in general, and he just wants nothing. He just wants the Switch and nothing else.
I can respect
and
that.
And I, yeah, I get it. He doesn't want things, but I'm like, how much clutter is just the case? And it looks cool on the shelf, but...
That's a lot of clutter, Tom.
Everyone's different.
It's a lot of clutter. Yeah, I like I my
know.
Stuff.
I know, yeah. I just, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know,
each to their own. It's a personal preference thing, but it's also a convenience and...
It comes down to owning cost. It, too. Like, I want to physically touch it.
Yeah.
You know, if you go into a store and you touch something, you're far more likely to purchase it than if you just look at
it's
it.
It's a common sales thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you, here, hold this.
You. Yeah, yeah. I was always told that when I worked in sales.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, hold this. And
but
like,
you know, the one concern about it, though, too, is that I was talking with Ben Schrader about this a while back, is we're starting to really run into medium rot, like the Sega CD discs.
Oh.
You know, the data, the yeah. CD rot, and batteries are starting to die in the cartridges.
For preservation, yeah, yeah. This is true, and also then systems that run them, so maybe the game's fine, but, you know...
There's going to come a point where we're just going to lose generations of games because we've not, A, preserved them, or they just don't work.
How do we deal with the preservation issue? I mean, there's always going to be somebody who knows what they're doing, making components, you know, for consoles, like a niche sort of thing. But, like, imagine in 10 years, is your NES going to work?
That's why I have 8 of them. If that one doesn't work, let's hope to God this one does.
Because this is the... I'm using that as the barometer. That's kind of where... Not literally, as so many before, but for so many people, that's what kind of where their gaming history started. You know, yeah. The NES, right? A very common entertainment console. It wasn't even called a gaming console for reasons of Atari.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's the one I think of when I think of like the first, you know, quote-unquote. And it's like... There are NESs, a lot of them now don't work. There are a lot out there, they've shipped millions. But there's going to be a point, yeah, I wonder, 10 years, 20 years? How do you keep that running? I know you have, like, Retrons, but it's not the same.
Well, and now with people cracking down on emulation sites and all of that, so yeah. Unless these companies actually start to preserve their own content.
Yeah. And it's like, Nintendo subscription gives you a bunch of NES games. But, like, again...
You don't own it.
You don't own it. If I'm subscribed, great. And I think they swap them out. It's like a Netflix style. I think they might even just cut one out, stick one in.
I'm halfway through a game. Well, fuck you.
It just feels too like, come on, I just want to have it. Like, imagine it. I don't think it would work very well for you, actually. Because you buy a game, and it might sit on your shelf for ages.
13 years, 14 years.
Yeah. But maybe in that 15th year, you might want to play it.
Hell yeah. But I might get around to Kingdom Hearts 2.
But you want to know that you might. But you won't have that if you are subscribed. Imagine, no. I hate that pressure on Netflix.
Yeah.
Where you're like, oh, I have these 6 films on a list that I really want to see, but I just can't catch a break in the evening to watch it. And then suddenly that goes down to 5. And it's like, well, fuck. It's gone. And yeah. Now I have to buy the DVD, but I'm not going to do that. I don't know. I can't work out whether it's pro-consumer or who's winning. I need to know who's winning money-wise in this whole system, because that's what it all comes down to. No one's doing this for altruistic reasons. This is all just for money. Obviously, it's a business, so where's the money being made at the most?
You know, real quick, I think Juliet is Good Ships 88. She's asking what's happening to discs. they're not being preserved as well as they should, and they're decomposing or rotting due to chemicals or pressure. You know, if you keep a box of CDs in your garage, they're like, especially here in Arizona, I have a box of CDs out there. I bet you if we went down there, a good chunk of them would not work. Just the disc itself wasn't made to last a long time.
Yeah.
Unlike the cartridges. The cartridges will last longer. The batteries in them will die, but that's easy to open up and pop a new one in. That medium will last longer.
Yeah.
But discs, especially Sega CD discs and Saturn, they were made with a lower quality disc. They're gonna rot quicker.
Yeah, even like the typical audio disc that I remember when I was a kid, there were some discs that the album, I loved it so much, I played it so much that I ended up skipping and getting all scratched up and stuff just from being lasered constantly. I don't know. It's just over time things don't last. Nothing lasts, right?
You know, I'm fully prepared for the time when that happens, where when I buy a game, I understand that it's not gonna work. Like, I just want that piece of history. I mean, if I'm being honest, most of the stuff I buy, I'm not gonna play.
Yeah.
I just put it on the shelf.
Yeah. But
it's a sickness.
You're a collector.
Yeah.
A not very well one.
I have a new addition to my collection. Should we share it?
Yes, let's share it. Let's see it.
Zach and I have been in this race to complete the Legend of Zelda Collector's Edition guides, the colorful hardback guides. They released them as a box set in 2013 for,
not long ago.
I think it was $152.99.
Okay, that's the original RRP.
Yeah. I don't know why they had the $2.99 on there.
Yeah,
but
that's pretty weird.
So, I have had all of them except for Ocarina of Time 3D, which that book alone was going for $100 to $130 used. And it only came in the box set, so you'd have to rely on somebody
trading in a box set with only one book, and that being Ocarina of Time.
Or parting it out.
Or parting it out.
And they were so rare because people wanted to hold on to that. So I was at one of the stores that I sell some artwork in, and I saw one of the Skyward Sword books there, which, let me hold this one up here. If you're watching this on cam, I'll show you this. It's this blue one. It's pretty thick. I mean, it's probably an inch thick. And I saw one there that was about a third this size.
Yeah.
So I was looking through it, and I'm like, what the hell is it? Like, why is this so thin? It looked identical to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't find that one anywhere online. And it didn't look like it had been changed.
How weird.
It just looked official, but thin.
Yeah.
So I asked him just off the cuff, have you ever seen the Ocarina of Time 3D book? And he goes, oh yeah, I have one. And instantly my brain went, you shouldn't have asked, because now you have to buy it. Because it was just this race between the two of us to see who could finish it out first. So I said I'll buy it. And he goes, well, it's part of a box set. And I went, oh fuck.
Yeah.
Those box sets used go for like $250 to $275.
Yeah, like you're prepared to part with that. You know you're gonna have to.
And I walk up to take a look at it, and I see the sign that he has on there, and it says $149.99. And I'm sitting there going, I don't want to spend that much today, but holy shit, when I see a deal, I see a deal. So we started talking about it, and I talked myself out of purchasing it because I didn't want to part with $150. And then I started digging into it a little bit more, and I told him, like, dude, you have this grossly underpriced. And he had no idea what he had.
You told him that?
Yeah, like, you have this grossly underpriced.
You're an honest man.
And I showed him, well, I sell some of my stuff at his store, so.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Build that rapport with that. I showed it to him, and like, just the Ocarina of Time 3D book, you could get almost this price for. You could part everything else out, or you could sell this whole box set for damn near $300. Because it has the certificate, it has the laser-engraved gold bookmark, metal bookmark, every book mint condition. And I said, I'm really tempted, but I'd feel bad buying it off you at that price. And he goes, well, you saw it at that price, I had it marked, I'd honor it for you, but the second you walk out that door, it's going up to $279 or
$274.
Wow. So I'm sitting there hemming and hawing over it, and I'm like, I have duplicates. I'm looking through them. Like, I have duplicates of four books that I could sell off and make $110 or $120.
Yeah.
So then I paid $30 for the Ocarina of Time book. So in the end, it worked, but...
Nice.
Dude, this thing.
Let's see it. Let's see the whole box.
Oh, God! So it's this... It's the full chest. Like, it is a full-on chest. You know, it's got this little certificate of authenticity with it. I have number 14,491 out of 15,000, so good number. Wow.
Only 15,000, my 50. Mate?
50, yeah.
Still.
But,
still.
Yeah, it's right here. I know Zach is,
as well.
I know Zach is watching, so.
Oh, he's teasing.
Oh, it feels good. Woo!
That purple.
Oh, it's.
That's so beautiful.
Yeah, here. I'll hold this up.
So no, don't. Look away, Zach.
Oh, look Zach, away. See if you can see this. It's the purple one. See it? See yeah. It? It says it right here. See where my pinky is? It's that one. Right there.
He's like, yeah, I got it. All right, I got
did he,
it.
Did he see it?
Yeah, I think it. He did.
Let us know if you saw it, Zach.
Of course, you have to get a Triforce Heroes.
Damn it!
Is that the one you're missing?
I forgot they did that one.
Look at your waveform on the deck.
Oh, no. I thought I had them all.
No. That's the race is still on, guys.
I shouldn't. So I just sent him. I just sent him one of the two that he was missing, which was Majora's Mask 3D.
Oh, you're helping your.
I had a spare.
God damn it!
I thought, well, hey, I'm the victor.
That's the black one.
No, it's the red one.
Oh, Twilight Princess is the black one.
Yeah.
Not HD.
Yeah. Twilight Princess is black one. This is Majora's Mask 3D, the maroon one.
So cool! I love how they're all the same design but just different colors. It's really neat.
But yeah, either way, it was, you know, every cool. once in a while you step into a store and you just fall face first into a deal. It's like, I didn't plan on spending this today, but...
It happens so rarely these days. These days people are so savvy on it because obviously internet, eBay, but the best places you can find deals where people really aren't sure is like garage sales.
Yeah.
You know, like...
But that shit's so beat up.
It is, but you get... every now and again you might find something... especially I think Zach one of Zach's stories was finding a sealed Conker's Bad Fur Day.
Toss a lady $20
for like $20 or something.
And she only wanted 10.
Yeah, and I think he just gave her the 20 and like kind of briskly ran off.
Probably about as fast as he did after Tyrone.
Yeah. Which yeah, fair. And Zach actually makes a good point with the licensing stuff.
But yeah, back
which,
to that.
Which I remember, yeah, because there are some games that have licensed music where the licensed music is just Tony so Hawk. Integral to it, right? Tony Hawk, Crazy Taxi. Like, imagine downloading Crazy Taxi and it not being The Offspring. Like, that sucks. Like,
I think what's going to happen in the future, though, is...
And you're not going to afford to renew that license. Why would you do that on a 10-year-old game or whatever?
This is what would have to happen. If your music is going to be in our game, you have to give us a perpetual license.
You think so? Yeah. And that would be...
Or you just have to... We just give you a flat rate instead of royalties on it. We just say, here's what we're paying for this song to be in here.
Yeah.
That's how you could skirt that. But yeah, you're right. That's why, when they did the Tony Hawk HD remake, the songs were different.
Oh, were they?
Yeah, there were some different songs
on there. Were they just like MIDI tracks? Every now and again...
Just a guy doing something in the background.
Every now and again, you hear a voice that's like... Free with ButterbarSounds.com. You know when you get like a sample and it just keeps like we couldn't afford this. Yeah, I'm not sure on it, man. I just it makes me.
I'll try it out.
Yeah, I mean,
I'll give it a go. I was super skeptical on it at first. They say it's going to work in the average home. You can play it on a TV with a controller.
Seeing is believing.
Curious to see how much it'll be.
Yeah,
I bet you the controllers will be $500.
Yeah. Yeah.
Subscription.
What do you think of the controller?
Let me use an Xbox controller, and I'll be fine.
Well, you guys don't do controllers. Leave that alone. You guys haven't had the time.
Did you get Mad Cats to do this?
Ugh. Where's the see-through plastic and the turbo buttons?
Is this the shark?
Where's the 6 feet cable?
Why does it feel so light?
Oh, dear.
Yeah, and then, I'm curious about it.
Someone said my record skipped too much because I was DJing. Fair point. Already.
Real quick, the other thing coming out that I'm going to be picking up is the Oculus Quest. You and I were talking about this a little bit in the car today, how we're both shocked at how far untethered, self-sustaining VR has come in a year.
Yeah, I can't believe it because PSVR is awesome. It's my first proper VR unit other than the Google Daydream.
which I think that was great.
It's really good. But the PSVR, I'm having a great time with. It's basically my Beat Saber machine, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
I don't play almost anything else. Yeah.
But you can't get around the fact.
But the cables.
The cables.
The cables, the
and the technology is
quote unquote low frame rate, which I haven't experienced VR in any other headset, so I'm lucky to have not been spoiled by 120 frames in an HT Vive.
No, don't play Vive. Don't play Beat Saber on the Vive.
So that's fine, but I remember for ages, for the last few months, you know, I was thinking, it's going to be two or three years before we see untethered VR without latency.
See,
I don't have a box to connect to, but it looks like, when I saw Oculus Quest, I was like, what?
Well, even before that, though, Oculus had the backpack, and there's these huge batteries that you'd have to clip into it, but it was still talking to your PC. You still needed a beefy PC to run it.
Yeah.
And you're wearing this big headset and this backpack. I'm like, that's cool. You're not tethered. It's cool. It's cumbersome. But you're not tethered. And now Oculus Quest comes out and says, hey, guys, self-enclosed here. You know, it's about on par with the PlayStation VR, so...
Yeah.
And I was reading more into it, and it's really neat how they've solved the tracking issue. It has IR points around the face, and that's where it tracks your hands from.
Oh. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Huh.
So that's really neat. It's still tracking in the traditional sense, so the Oculus has, like, the circles that are pointed down. These ones are pointed more up, so it can catch them.
Okay.
But what's cool about it is that it has a reported 4,000 square foot arena size tracking space. And what's neat is that the headset will read your room,
mm-hmm.
and it will map out things that are there and be like, this is a hard surface, this is a hard surface, this is a wall. So if you start to get close to that in game, it'll throw up a fence.
One of those grids.
Mm-hmm. Be like, that's impressive. Back up.
Out of play area or something.
Out
like
of
that.
Play area. Wow. So, you know, the resolution's going to be a little lower than the PSVR.
Sure.
But
for the convenience of that.
I hate having to tie up my entire sound system downstairs to play Beat Saber.
Yeah, and just like, I find sometimes if I'm on some of these Beat Saber songs, like the expert ones, where it's going really quickly, I can easily hit the cable.
I make sure it goes behind me.
Yeah, even then, it kind of just throws me off a little bit. It's not the worst. I'm happy with it for now, but it is really impressive.
Do you need a refill?
I do. We need a second beer.
We brought a cooler up.
The cooler is,
watch this.
The camera.
I don't even need to unzip it.
Oh, feel that. Like, it's... Ooh. Oh, he's opened the seal.
What do we got in here?
Maybe we should just keep on being sealed.
The head doesn't quite fit.
That's a ratchet moment.
Would you like another one of these?
Yes, please.
Don't show it. I don't want to be blind.
Just cans and beer.
Uh-oh. I need to buy one that has... Or I need to find one that's a twist. I don't think any of these are twist. Did I ever bring a bottle opener?
No.
No. I got it. I can solve it. We can do this.
Yeah. No problem. Oh, God. Did you ever do that?
No.
I had a friend that did it, and every time we did it, I just winced, like, cracked open the bottle with his teeth. I just thought... I kept picturing the slippage and through the gum... And then looking like something out of Resident Evil.
So, I'm going to spend, like, the next half hour trying to open a beer bottle with a pliers.
Right. So, this is an emergency, guys. We don't know.
No, look at this! Look at this! They're resourceful.
I can hear the hiss.
I remember in college, living in rented houses, we would just put it on the counter and just smash it down.
Same. Every, like, the coffee table, boom! Like, we don't care. No... God, that was... we were the worst.
Yeah, so Oculus Quest will be a ton of fun. Yours isn't... yours is twist off?
Is it?
Come on, now!
I didn't even try. I just wanted you to open it for me. Open my beer. Open the guest beer.
Drink it for me. Do we want to quickly touch on Nintendo's Direct and PlayStation State of Play?
Yeah.
Nintendo's Direct was mostly indie games.
Yeah, I actually only caught like some of it. I didn't see all of it. I know Cuphead was a big deal.
Cuphead will be great on the Switch.
Yeah, never played it. Never played it.
You can try it on Xbox here.
Is it good?
It's. I've done nothing. I've accomplished literally nothing.
Heard it's hard.
Yeah, a little bit.
Things like that put me off.
It's tough. Yes, it's very difficult.
Like, not the best at is it platformer? It is a platformer. Yeah.
Yes.
I like the art style though, kind of Steamboat Willie style.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah,
I like it.
So
yeah, that's cool.
The only other one that I really saw.
Whoever's making some sort of it's Crypt of the Necromancer. The guys behind that game are making a Zelda game.
Oh, it's a music-based one, isn't it?
No.
Something Cadence?
Oh, maybe it is, yeah. Yeah, it is a rhythm-based one, sorry, you're right.
Let's look up the official title here.
Maybe Action RPG / Rhythm or something? That could be...
Zelda Cadence of Hyrule.
Yes, Cadence
Crypt
of Hyrule.
Crypt of the Necromancer.
Yeah.
It's combining Legend of Zelda with... I don't know what Crypt of the Necromancer is.
It's a game.
It was a first... Thanks! Thanks, I like that. That was good.
It's on it's a cross-platform... I think it's a strategy RPG or something. I can't remember. My brother has it, actually.
Oh, it's got an art style that resembles portable Zeldas.
Honestly, it looks cool.
I'm gonna, mute this.
Yeah, just mute and, skim through a little, just to see... What do you think?
Yeah, I'm in.
Yeah, it was like 2 seconds.
It kind of looks like... Oh, yeah. It looks like Binding of Isaac.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah.
So that'll be a sweet one.
Neo
Cab looked good.
Yep.
What is the other one?
Hold
on. I'm flipping through it now.
There was one bigger
Pine,
one.
And then the one that looked like Horizon. What was that one? Was that Pine?
I don't recall one that like Horizon. Pine?
Yeah, Pine. It was Pine.
Never saw it.
Like a big open world type.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, let us know in the chat if there's any other games you saw that you thought...
Ooh! But,
that tickles my fancy.
I thought you were doing something with your beer because I heard a little squeak.
Oh, no.
So, there it is. PlayStation decided to try to get in on this whole thing.
Yeah.
I had high expectations for their State of Play, and I know I shouldn't have.
I did. I don't know why. I thought, yeah, let's see. But then they just ended up showing more of Days Gone, which Sony Bend needs that game to be a hit.
I'm not sure.
They are screwed.
I'm not sure.
The game they made was Uncharted Golden Abyss. Is it called Golden Abyss?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even still,
that
didn't sell a ton because not a lot of people bought a Vita.
Yeah. So who knows what they were doing for the first few years after that, but then they started working on Days Gone, which originally was called Dead Don't Ride.
They've been making it
better name.
7 years.
Well, I don't know what were they doing. What were they doing otherwise? Right, this is the thing. Maybe contracting out to help other studios. I don't know because they're part of like Sony.
That's true.
Maybe they would have sent stuff to them as extra outsourced resource. But
I'm not sold on it.
I'm not sold on it either. I apparently a lot of what they show, it's like wow, that's cool. But I've heard from people. In the industry, like journalists that have played it, like hands on with it for like 3 hours, and they're like, it's really not good. It's not fun. And apparently, those epic moments where the freakers, which are like the zombies, you know, when like they were showing off the fact that like 20 of them could be swarming at you in a second, apparently that happens like once and then nothing for ages and ages. And just like, then there's some simulation stuff where you're fixing up your bike, making sure it has fuel. There's an open world with not much to do. There's an upgrade system that doesn't really encourage you to go ahead with it. You kind of don't want to do it. I don't know, man. It just feels like I'm worried about that game.
I'm starting to feel constrained. I'm starting to feel restricted.
Let's give you a moment.
I'm not buying it.
You know?
No. I don't have any interest. I never really have.
No.
It piqued my interest because, okay, this could be the next big thing and I don't want to miss out on it.
Sure.
But it just has... I have zero... interest in it.
Yeah.
What I do have interest in, though...
Is something else they showed?
No Man's Sky VR.
Oh, yeah. So they didn't show that, did they?
They talked about it,
in the State of Play.
Yeah.
Did
Yeah, right here. No Man's Sky gets full PlayStation VR support.
Oh, I missed that.
For free!
Yeah.
Free update. Talk about... You and I were also talking about this today. Talk about a game that went from just absolute train wreck shit show to... This is a good game.
Yeah, and I feel like those guys have really redeemed themselves.
You know, to
do all that for free, because you could essentially go now and buy a used copy of that game for $15 and get all of that content on top, and you would, like, never know any better.
Yeah.
Like, I still have never played No Man's Sky. Now if I picked it up...
I have to start over.
Probably an alright game.
I have to completely start over because it's completely different.
Yeah, you can be playing third person now.
It's been really cool to see Dalton share in our Facebook group.
Yeah,
how much he likes that game because he was a huge advocate of it when it first came out too. And then I think it was him. It was somebody else in our group.
It was
Dan bought it.
Hated it.
Sold it less than 24 hours later.
I know. I can't believe it. Well, I can.
I haven't put it in since... I put it in once to test some of the new updates, but prior to that, I hadn't put it in since 2 days after it came out.
Yeah, so, I think it's for a specific... I think it's... it's got quite a following on, like, Reddit. People enjoy, like, exploring, and it's for a certain type of gamer.
It
and,
seems
like cool.
A very... It's turning into a consoleized...
Cathartic. As well,
miniature version of Eve.
Yeah.
That's a game, man, I couldn't play. Like... That's a world within a world with politics and, like, real-world ramifications.
Yeah.
Like, no thanks.
I tried Eve a long time ago. Is that still going?
I thought about subscribing so that I was an active subscriber when they built that huge monolith in Sweden so my name would be on there.
Oh, yeah. Is that what they did?
Yeah.
Every single name?
Every single current subscriber, their name is on it.
Wow.
Yeah. I thought about it. I'm like, but I didn't want to drop, like, $20 to have my name on it. On
That'd
a monolith
kind of cool,
in
though.
Sweden somewhere.
Wait, but how could they fit? How big is this thing?
Huge. I'll see if I can find a picture of it for you. It's obnoxious.
Well, I don't know a ton about Eve, but from what I remember, I really loved this idea. And tell me if this is Eve or not. In that you start with a tiny little ship with no resources, and then you're gradually, like, building that ship to be bigger and getting
you're
and farming
doing actual
and, like,
work.
Yeah.
Like, you're actually doing work. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. I kind of... If I had the time to play something like that, I kind of feel like it would be my jam. Like, I would love a Star Trek game like that. I would love a game like that.
Where
you,
Star Trek Online was fantastic.
We managed to ship... And, really?
Oh, yeah. Star Trek Online was so good.
Like, we just managed this ship and took it around and saw other people, like, but it's, like, a huge
killed a bunch
world.
Of aliens.
Yeah, and you, like, might meet people you might not. And I know that No Man's Sky drew some of these parallels, too.
So, it's in Reykjavik, but...
Oh, in Iceland.
I mean, your names are microscopic.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Because, yeah, it's actually not that big.
No, I saw a picture of it that initially. I'm like, that's colossal!
So maybe it's like font size 2 point.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So back to Sony and what they showed. A lot of VR. They are doubling down on VR.
They got to.
I think we're going to see a PlayStation 5 announcement this summer. And I think... Dude, they have to. It's every industry professional who has an inside track on it.
You're
says
saying they're working on games.
It's coming out in 2020. We have to have an announcement and say, even if it's just a teaser. But I think they're going to double down.
I think fall.
You think fall?
Yeah.
Well, they're not doing PSX anymore.
Is it? I thought it was E3 they weren't doing.
Yeah, but they're not doing PlayStation Experience anymore either.
Yeah, they didn't do that last year either, did they?
PlayStation
Experience. And that's a shame, because that's, like, their event. And they used to show off really cool exclusives there. Like, Detroit Become Human was announced there, I remember. It was so cool.
I think what they're going to do is... I'm glad that the PlayStation VR has taken off as well as it has.
Yeah. Because
it was a rocky start.
It was.
And then,
And that news article came out where they were like, hey, a million headsets have been sold. And we're like,
people
are buying
fuck?
This.
Like, really?
Yeah.
And that's when I bought one. And then it kind of like... who was next to buy one? Mike, and then Dan, and then you bought one. Like, it just kind of became this thing of, like, this is entry-level VR, and it showed, like, when games like Moss and Astrobot came out, like, this is viable.
Yeah, Moss is really cool. I've only played about an hour of it, but I really like it.
Well, and now, so here's the thing, in State of Play, I'd say a good 80% of what they showed was all VR.
Yeah, and good VR, too, not just conceptual stuff.
Yeah, like the Iron Man game. Yeah. And then...
Yeah. And the London studio game.
Blood and Truth.
Blood and Truth, which I'm really interested in.
Observation.
Yes. Like that.
There's
a
game... that's what it's called, Adrift. PS4, there's that game called Adrift. They don't have a VR version of it, but it's similar to that.
I don't know why they don't have a VR version of that.
Five Nights at Freddy's, Concrete Genie... And then...
Did you know that Adrift was made by the guy who was pretty high up at Microsoft? And when people were complaining on Twitter about the fact that the Xbox One had to be online only, he tweeted back, hashtag deal with it, and then he got fired from Microsoft.
Jesus.
And he was really high up, like, big paycheck and stuff. And I think he was really hurt by it a lot, and then he became, I guess, like a developer, not a... developer,
what a baller response, though.
Adrift.
That's awesome.
I know.
Just fucking deal with it. Like, you know, we live in this age where you're gonna bitch about everything. Deal with it.
Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of VR stuff. Cool. So I think PlayStation 5, real quick before we jump into our game of the week, I think PlayStation 5 is gonna double down on VR.
Yeah, I think so.
I think to some degree they've proven that it is.
You don't think they'll go down the streaming route as well? Somewhere?
They're gonna have to have something.
I think they'll revamp PS Plus. Because they've got rid of Vita. They've actually don't even give away VR games very much, it seems.
Every couple months. They were giving them away for a while, and before I had a VR headset, I was still downloading them. Just adding them to my library.
And they stopped PS3. So now we just get like a couple PS4 games a month, right?
We got some good ones this month and last month.
Call of Duty Modern Warfare Remastered. What was the other one? The Witness?
Yep, and then we got Conan.
Yep.
That game's supposedly great.
Yep. No, they're not bad, but I feel like they are nothing compared to Games Pass.
Like, no.
When you consider it.
But the thing about Game Pass, too, though, is to your point earlier about Netflix, is that...
They come down. They take
It's overwhelming.
Yeah.
I look at it like, over 100 games, and I go,
And I'm not surprised that the collector in you was like... I'm just going to download them all, and that's why your internet just bottomed out. Because I would have done the same. Remember when you first discovered ROM sites?
Oh my god.
I spent an entire day on 56K downloading every Genesis game I could find. I didn't care what they were. It was just like a little kid, like just... Yeah,
give me. It's like a kid at the day after Halloween.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. And then you're just sick of how many ROMs that you got, like how many games you have. Oh, it's nuts.
So my prediction on PlayStation 5 is that they're doubling down on VR. They've shown that it's viable. They've shown that you can actually do full-fledged games in it.
Mm-hmm.
Farpoint with the aim controller, phenomenal.
Yeah.
Skyrim, albeit it's an 8-year-old game, fantastic in VR. And then, so Dan sent us, there's this new controller that they've announced. I don't remember what they called it. The Wedge.
Yeah.
It's this little disc that you put your feet on.
It's like a saucer, but like, you know, the kids have the flying saucer things that you hop on.
Yeah, except those. Yeah, like the moon ball without the top half of it.
Yeah.
So you rest your feet on it, and when you tilt it, that's what controls your character.
Mm.
So now it gives you this perception of movement, so you can do more movement with the aim controllers. Because most VR games have aim controllers. You're limited to a static location or on rails.
Yeah.
So to bring your feet into that, you know, it's clunky, it's cumbersome, but it solves that ever-present issue of how the hell do I move around?
I bet
Sony's going to embed the PlayStation VR into the PS5. You're not going to have that external box.
Yeah, and then instead the peripherals that you're buying are still Move controllers and this thing.
I think they're going to get rid of the light tracking and they're going to go to IR. They have to. If they want to compete with Oculus and the Quest at $399.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they really have to revamp that side of it because there's too many bits and bobs. Like, I've spent a lot of money on peripherals on my PS4.
Yeah.
That they're going to become obsolete pretty quick. They're going to have to scale that. They need to definitely improve the hardware design of the PS4 Pro. That thing sounds like a jet engine running
just
games.
Yours. Mine doesn't.
Really?
Yeah. Just yours.
It's just, I mean, okay, I've actually given it more airflow and it's not as bad, but that, I don't understand how it doesn't have liquid cooling, right?
Mm-hmm.
The One X does.
Mm-hmm.
That's a thing. If you want to get those frame rates in, like those locked 60 frame rates and more native 4K.
That's what I think PlayStation needs to do. If they can do guaranteed 4K 60, they'll win.
Yeah.
because, you know, Zach said here the same thing. They've got the games library.
Yeah.
Back to our point with Stadia. People are going to buy PlayStation because they want the exclusive.
And there are so many.
Yeah.
It's not like it's just... It's not like it's just Tomb Raider or just God of War.
I mean, I know...
It's like Spider-Man now.
I know Microsoft has exclusives, but I'd be hard-pressed to honestly rattle off more than five quality system selling. Yes.
I think between us, we could name 10 PS4 exclusives very easily.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Right? That are really good. Uncharted, Bloodborne.
Spider-Man.
Ratchet and Clank.
Yes.
We can...
God of War.
God of War, easily God of War.
Let's see. Metal Gear is no longer...
Detroit Become Human.
Yes.
Until Dawn, I mean, it's a good, really solid exclusive.
Now Sekiro.
Sekiro.
No, Sekiro's not exclusive. Never mind. Sorry, no, that's not. So. I'm just looking at my...
But it's like...
Gran Turismo, obviously, that's a huge seller for sports people.
Yeah, yeah.
Hotshot, or the Everybody's Golf.
Yeah, I always miss those ones because I don't play those games. So yeah, but this is just like, on those other genres, as you continue to branch out, it's just, there are so many games to come to PlayStation to play. Like, you just can't get them anywhere else. I would just miss out on so many parts of the conversations we have if I would just had a Microsoft Xbox and not a PS4. So...
I think it's going to be interesting. We are at the cusp of another generation. I'm not looking forward to that shitty bleed over period where it's like, hey, this game was developed to work on both, so it's crap.
Yeah.
It's good on PS4 and it's shitty on PS5s.
Yep.
You know, I hate that bleed over period. Yeah.
Ugh. That's ugly. And it's just the part of the, it's just part and parcel of it now. But
yeah.
But I don't ever. The Switch is the only console I've ever, I think, bought anywhere near launch. And I didn't even buy it at launch, but I bought it near launch, because they sold out of them. I was in Japan, couldn't find a single one. I went to five cities in Japan.
I remember that, yeah.
Not a single Switch. Greys, Neons, you name it, nothing.
The only consoles I've purchased at launch were the Wii, Xbox 360, PS3... I don't know how I afforded that as a broke-ass college kid.
God,
I bought all three of them at launch, and they all came out within, like, a couple months of each other.
You bought the PS3 at launch?
$600, baby. Fuck. I had the 60-gig version.
Did you have the one that could play PS2 games? Or do you still have it?
No, the GPU would keep coming unsoldered.
Oh, I bet. Yeah. I bet they don't.
Penny now. They don't hold up well. They were built so poorly.
Yeah.
And then I bought the Switch at launch.
But
being in the position I'm at now, I'll purchase every system at launch. Like we've talked about this ad nauseum before. Yeah. You need early adopters for technology to survive and succeed. So, those are those two things.
Jeez.
We should move on to our game of the week or game of like the last 5 weeks.
Game of the game week. World premiere. Exclusive.
we decided to play a game I've actually been looking to play for quite some time. It really nicely blends action, stealth, and story.
Yeah, with some roleplay elements.
Yeah, somewhat.
To a degree.
But voice acting, phenomenal voice acting. So this week, or it was supposed to be for a week and a half ago, and then it was supposed to be for last Sunday, now it's for today. We're playing the Chronicles of Riddick, Escape from Butcher Bay.
Chronicles of Riddick!
Riddick!
I don't know why I didn't think
that. Oh man, I just blew Riddick! That up. Whose name, believe it or not, is Richard Riddick.
Dick Riddick.
Dick Riddick.
Dick Riddick.
Mama Dick Riddick.
Dick Riddickulous.
That was a stretch.
Yeah.
That was a little bit of a stretch.
It was.
We got there, though. It was made by Vivendi Universal.
What did Vivendi do? Because they've done so many games.
Let's take a peek here.
I just want to see, because...
Whenever I hear Vivendi, I always think of Vivek from Morrowind. I'm like, it's a town in Morrowind. So their history... Jesus, this is a long
You were thinking of Morrowind, and I was thinking of a composer with a similar name.
Successor Activision Blizzard. So they merged with Activision.
Of course they did.
Yeah.
Who didn't?
And then now they've been gutted.
We'll take you in, yeah. And we'll remove your stuff.
So this was originally released on the first Xbox in 2004, and at the time was...
Oh, it was a crossover game.
Was it? No.
Oh.
Was it 2004?
But original Xbox?
Mm-hmm.
I played it on 360.
I know, they did a...
Oh.
You bought a copy of Assault on Dark Athena,
which
came with an HD remake.
But I never... Okay. Well, I remember when I was on the menu, I never could choose... It booted me straight into... Butcher Bay. Didn't boot me into Athena.
It boots you into a menu that you can choose one or the other.
So, anyway,
at the time, it was hailed as the best-looking game on any console anywhere. And objectively thinking about it, I put in the original Xbox version of it. It's a good-looking game.
Mm, yeah.
Comparatively, like, if you think about the original graphics for Halo.
It's hard to take yourself back. 2004? Yeah. Okay, actually, yeah, 2004?
Yeah.
That was a long time ago. 15 years ago? Yeah, alright. Oh, no, it is a good-looking game. It is. It's got, like, this muddy... It's got, like, these muddy colours, but they're quite sharp and pronounced. Like,
well, the whole
it's
point
not
of
too dark. Like, I thought... I was worried it would be a very dark game because of the colours, the colour palette on it. Like, it feels like you might could easily... get lost in there, but it's pretty sharp.
If you don't know, like, it follows the same character as the movies Chronicle of Riddick, and this is a precursor to the movie Pitch Black, and Riddick was introduced in that movie. He's this kind of anti-hero, kind of gruff scruffly, you know, typical Vin Diesel dude who has these special eyes that allow him to see in the dark, and, like, he's this really soft-spoken, you know, he doesn't say much, but, like, he'll kick your ass, you know, type dude. And you just don't want to mess with him, and he has no fear about anything. But anyway, the game is essentially a prison break game. Mm. So you are being taken to a triple max prison called Butcher Bay. And on the way, you are being taken there by a guy named Johns, who you have a little bit of a history with. And, you know, it's enemies, and, you know, like, we're always at each other. Their whole thing is, who's going to kill the other first, and despite them having ample opportunities to. You know, it's this love-hate relationship. And the whole game is essentially you, Riddick, trying to get out of Butcher Bay and escape.
Yeah.
That's the game. It's essentially it.
Prison Break.
Prison Break.
Like a way out.
Yes. Kind of. Yes.
Yeah.
The voice acting is fantastic. I mean, you have to take it for the day.
Yeah, you do have to take it for the day, because obviously voice acting and mocap now is phenomenal, but for the time, and some of the great voice actors too, that they had the rapper Exhibit.
Yeah, you get the vocal stylings of Exhibit. I'm just thinking, when are you going to pimp my car?
Yeah. But when I first heard it, I was like, oh my God, that's Exhibit. And then after a while, I was like, actually, he's really good at this.
Yeah, he's
like,
he really good.
He nails that character.
He was a... because he played the character... I'm trying to pull up a name of the characters here.
It's the guard. It's like the guard who basically is super corrupt. I mean, they all are.
Yes.
But he's like... He's deciding the pecking order, right? So, who's the guy who, like, you have a beef with in the early start of the
Johns.
Game?
William J.
No,
Johns.
No. It's the guy who... You he's a prisoner as well.
Mm.
Because of the Rust, or is it Rust?
Rust or something like that.
Yeah, I think it is Rust.
So, yeah. It's interesting. You get thrown into the prison and you kind of have to, like, immediately prove yourself. Like, there's already these cliques and these factions, and you're tossed in, and like, this is a no joke facility. Like, if you're seen with anything, you get shot and killed immediately.
Mm.
They've got turrets placed everywhere. You know, you got to hide stuff, and
the
guards will frisk you at any time. But you basically have to go in and cut your teeth and disrupt these factions.
Yeah. But, silly question, right? But for the first hour or two of the game, I never knew why he's in prison.
I don't know.
They never
explain
that.
Game starts...
in a dream.
No. The game originally starts, like, you see him, and he's got long hair, and he had just killed an animal, and he's gutting it, and...
Oh, yeah.
He's doing this dialogue with himself. The whole game is a flashback.
Yeah.
And he's recounting his time in Butcher Bay.
Oh. Okay.
I don't know why he's in prison, or why he's on his way,
Even when he finished it?
the story really doesn't make a whole lot of sense on.
Because, like, disclosure, I didn't finish.
I did.
You know, I shocker. So, that's a pretty big hole. Like, why are you in this high-grade, super-secure prison with turrets? I mean, you must have done some bad stuff.
And Johns is, like, always trying, he's like, I got you this time,
Riddick.
Yeah,
you're a terrible man. You're never getting out of here.
So, it's really interesting that this game is, it's really good at some times, and really bad at other times.
Mm. When is it at its best?
The last third.
The last third?
The last third of the game is incredible.
That's interesting. I didn't think it was bad in the first, like, third that I played.
The middle third? Just toilet.
First third was cool, though.
So, the combat is really interesting. It's kind of a...
Yeah, the combat's...
It's first-person fist fighting.
Yeah, which is...
With boxing elements.
Not many games do that, and the ones that have done it, it tends to not go well.
No.
Usually. Like, first-person fist fighting sucks.
And this isn't that good, but, like, you can really...
it's fine, though. It's fine. I'm trying to think. I actually had to... when playing the first time around, there was a point during the dream sequence where I had to kick the difficulty down to easy briefly. It was tough.
Yeah.
Those soldiers, so the dream sequence, you, boom, I was like, what? I just want to get through this scene.
It serves as your tutorial.
Yeah.
And then you have to remember all of that shit later.
Yeah, like there's the climbing, the ledge movements, and like there's the stealth kills, like they become important. Thankfully it's all pretty straightforward to execute, but it's just, you know, because of its age, it can be a little clunky, but it's,
yeah,
it does a pretty good job of it.
It gets really...
I've never played this game before.
It gets really tiresome in the middle section, so, you're trying to make your way to a spaceport to get off the prison, and each person that you meet says, okay, you know, go talk to this guy. He owes me a favor. He'll let you out of this cell block, but you have to do X, Y, Z for me. So it's kind of these fetch quest type things where you have to kill a certain number of these other prisoners in this other gang, and then get this item for me and bring it to me and blah, 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 and all of that. So you start a riot at the beginning,
right,
and that's what gets you out of that cell block, and, yeah, and you're crawling through vents and stuff like that. The game is really dark for a lot of it.
Yeah.
So then you get to what I consider to be the worst part of the game. Is like, you get to this section where there's three or four different cell blocks and a mess hall and a tower and a recreation center, and you're just running errands. And you're trying to find these people, and then...
You know, talk to this person, talk to this... It's like kind of like fetch quests.
Well, for example, one of the worst ones was you have to give this guy... This guy tells you, hey, I need an item. You go, you find that item, you bring it back to him, and he gives it to his buddy who says, hey, go put this in the traditional hiding spot. So I'm thinking, all right, let's just go follow him. Well, yeah. He doesn't go anywhere. He just stops there. So you have to leave the area entirely, and you come back, and he's gone.
Oh.
You have no idea where he stashed it. And it's not in that room anywhere. It's in a different room behind a grate, but if you pull out any sort of tool with the turrets looking at you, shot dead.
Oh, I see.
So there's a stealth mechanic to it, where if you're in the shadows and you press square, like, you just can't be seen. And, like, the screen gets dark and you have this blue edge to it. So there is there is incentive, which is kind of against my internal nature, to be sneaky. Like, I want to just run through and, like, uppercut people, and you can't do that.
They make it impossible.
You know, you get shivs made out of toothbrushes and brass knuckles made out of, like, rivets. It's really interesting. When you kill the guards, they drop a gun, but you can't pick the gun up.
No.
Because the guns, it's not registered to you. They're all DNA registered.
Yeah.
But I don't think you made it to the part where you get guns.
I don't think I did. No, I didn't.
So eventually, you can...
It takes ages to get guns, then.
It's about... Yeah, it's
halfway,
just...
Halfway through the game, probably?
About, yeah.
Yeah.
So eventually, you register yourself, and you get guns. And let me tell you what. The gunplay is terrible.
Well,
I did
try the guns because of the dream sequence. I take it the combat's different, the mechanic is different.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, the gunplay is bad.
It's slow, it's clunky, but the shotgun. Shotguns in any video game are phenomenal. They're so much fun.
That's true.
But you start blowing people away and do all that stuff, but what really kind of took me for a ride was about halfway through, it flips into monsters. And it kind of becomes... Like, have you ever seen that movie, The Descent?
Yeah.
It becomes Descent the game in prison. So you find out that this Ultramax, this Triple Max prison is on top of this, like, alien ritual colony. And these, they're called Xenomorphs? Yeah, Xenomorphs that are coming out. And after, as soon as you get guns, like, you drop down into this underbelly of Butcher Bay. And it's all dark. And you can't see shit.
Mm-hmm.
And, because you don't have your special eyes yet. And these things are coming at you. Like, you can just see their white silhouettes. And you're just blasting things. And you're running out of ammo. And you're charging through trying to get to where you need to go. And you pop into an elevator. And this guy, you meet this guy named Pope John? John Pope? John?
Oh, yeah, the Pope. Fair enough.
The Pope, yeah. You meet the Pope. He's just there. He's just there. Christening things. I don't remember what his name is. But anyway, he gives you special eyes that, you know, Riddick, that's what he's known for. He's able to see in the dark. It, like, enhances his ability. That's why he always wears those little sunglasses. So, you can turn your eyes on and off.
Yeah.
Like, you can be walking around normal. It's essentially him going like this.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's where the game becomes really cool, because the rest of the second half of the game is really dark.
Yeah.
Lots of pockets to hide, and, you know, you can sneak up on guards and kill them, and it does become very gun-heavy towards the end. Which is neat, because the game itself, it changes often enough where it keeps it fresh.
Yeah.
So, you know, if it were still the same, like, okay, you're just going to run these errands in prison, and, like, okay, eventually you get out.
Yeah.
It's boring.
It has to have a bit of a showdown, right?
Yeah, you got to have a bit of a showdown. And what's neat is, like, partway through, Johns helps you out of a bind. You know, you shoot him, and he helps you out of a bind, and then in return, you do something for him, like... You're trying to capture each other, and he wants to get you back in prison, but, you know, it's definitely an interesting story, and the gunplay is great, to a degree, as long as you're using the shotgun.
Mm.
But then you start getting mechs.
Mechs?
Yeah.
I had no idea there were mechs in this game.
Oh, yeah, you get mechs towards the end of the game, and you're just...
It's really one of the last things.
Hauling. Oh, God, it's prison. So much fun. Yeah.
Okay, explain to me how you get mechs in the game. Like, what?
So they're guards.
Oh, the guards themselves
are mech. Like, they're in.
Okay.
Like
they're there in the middle.
And like exoskeletons.
Yeah, okay.
But then you end up getting, like, an elite guard. So partway through, you end up getting captured again. You lose all your weapons, all your whatever.
Oh, God.
And you get sent to this cryo center where all of these mechs are. Like, it's heightened security where, like, all the worst of the worst, like solitary, they bring you out and you get 3 minutes of exercise a day. And they drop you in and, like, here's your mandatory 3 minutes of exercise. And you walk around and then the thing goes, pshht, sedative administered, and you pass out. You do that like 3 or 4 times and you have to escape because they bring somebody else in. You hop in their tube and go out. Like, you see this big room with all of these, you know, it's like this Matrix style cube thing.
Oh, like, but that's high security.
Yeah, yeah. That's where, you know, the mechs are, and you start trying to sneak by them. It becomes very, very difficult at that point.
Imagine.
There's a couple sections where you have to sneak through and shoot down turrets, and if they see you at all, you're dead.
So that's no longer Butcher Bay?
It's still on.
Or is it
technically,
like,
yes. Yeah, it's part of Butcher Bay.
Okay.
So the story itself is so intersparsely told because you're constantly talking to other characters, which is a neat aspect of the game, is that everybody that you meet has a unique story and unique dialogue.
Yeah.
So they're not just generic NPCs.
No.
So in the prison blocks, there's certain gangs, and they'll all talk about each other, and, like, they'll group up together, and then they'll talk shit about another group. It's just a really interesting thing to think, this was done in 2004.
Yeah, that is neat. That is neat. Which is, yeah, I was just leaving school, and so
I just graduated high school
long ago. Yeah, that's impressive. Yeah, it is neat. The little I played of it. Because as I said, I only played a couple hours. But, like, for some reason, I quite like that style of game, like breaking out of prison. I don't know why.
Yeah.
It's just something about it, right? It's just... That scene is just, like, it's kind of interesting. Because then you have to form these relationships with other people inside and try to break out. That's why I really want to play it A Way Out. Because that's,
we should, like, play that while you're here.
Yeah, I think that would be awesome. Yeah. I would definitely want to do that. We should do that. But what about, can you speak much to the, what's it called, Athena Dark?
So I started it.
Yeah. Assault on Dark Athena. What is that? Is that a proper sequel? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
So
same thing again, back in prison, or
you're just assaulting it. I don't know why.
Oh, assault and darkness.
Okay. Yeah, okay. You're trying to break into it. Instead of breaking out, you're breaking in.
It's like, it's the only life I know.
Yeah, prison. But I didn't get too far into it. I probably only got about an hour, but yeah. It's still the same mechanics. It just looks really sharp. It's a good looking PS3 game.
Okay.
Still phenomenal voice acting.
Yeah, I want to try it.
But you know, the interesting thing about Butcher Bay is that the locales were so different. At some point, you end up deep within a mine, and you know, then you're in this high tech facility, you're in this shitty prison, and then you're in this spaceport, and it's refreshing enough that. It's refreshing enough that it doesn't get stale, but about two-thirds of the way through, you get to the horrid, hey, you know all that shit you just went through?
Okay, back.
Go back through it! Literally backtrack all the way to the beginning of the game.
And everything else is still on the way, like the same stuff that you... the same obstacles?
There are some new changes to, like, enemy placement and things like that, but it's not just, ooh, let's go back!
Yeah.
You know, it's definitely interesting. It's annoying, but I understand they were trying to get the most mileage out of their development back then. Halo did it, and it's one of the most successful franchises of all time.
They kind of all did it. My favorite game of all time, Metal Gear Solid, did it.
Yeah.
Remember when you had to change the temperature of the card, the PAL card?
Or you had to go do the spraying of the cryo on the bombs.
Oh my god, that's on MGS2, Well, the other thing on the original Metal Gear was you get to the part where you're fighting Sniper Wolf. And you're like, oh, I need a sniper rifle. And then someone's like, I think there's one in the hangar bay. And Snake's like, you mean I have to go all the way back to the hangar? And it's like, yep.
I get it. I'm so glad that that's not a trend in gaming anymore.
Yeah, same. They kind of make it work in that game. Just because it's such a fucking great game. But yeah, that was part and parcel back then, yeah, of course. And
one of the coolest aspects of it was that in the mines, there's this... if you ever seen those giant industrial shredders that like you can stick a couch or a fridge into, there's one of those, and you can kill people and like you can move their bodies around.
Yeah, you can drag them. Yeah.
So I'm like, what happens if I put a body in there? So I dragged it over and like I had to get creative, and it fell in and went and covered the whole room in blood. Like, that's awesome. Brilliant. To know that someone's gonna do that.
Yeah, someone's thought about that, because you could have easily just missed it, right?
Oh yeah, that was great.
That's awesome. I'm trying to think. So you said the best part of that game was the last third. What was the worst?
That middle section where you're just running around the ABC section trying to find this crap for people, because you can't... so essentially you have to get into the mines. And you can't get into the mines without meeting a certain person, and you can't meet that person until you fulfill XYZ requirements.
Yeah, yeah.
So you just end up having to suffer through it. I did the bare minimum to get through. So there's two options. You can do all of that, or you can fight. They have this like combat ring where you can just challenge people to a fight. And eventually you fight the right person who then... it's fight to the death. So you kill the right person, and then they go, okay, you're good enough to see this person. And I chose the route of just running through, and I probably should have chose the other route. But that's by far the worst part. The tail end of it is so freaking much fun with all of the gunplay. Just even despite the fact that the gun shooting, the shooting mechanics are they're really not clunky, squishy. Like you move your gun and it's like you're flowing it through marshmallows.
Oh, that style. Yeah.
You can't
I hate that.
Killzone 2.
Yes.
Had it.
Killzone in general is a bit like that series. I know exactly the type of gunplay you mean. Yeah, it's heavy. It feels like a heavy game, when you're moving the gun around. That's a very good comparison. That's totally how it feels like that, because as I said in the intro, you do get introduced to some basic gunplay.
Yeah.
And I was like, "Whoa, this is rough." But it always is when you go back, cuz in my opinion, like Modern Warfare, the Modern Warfare 4 was the console shooter that refined the Twitch shooters that we know now. Like, everything feels premium and polished.
Yeah.
Great.
It's
now.
Fast.
Battlefield and COD are just great. They nail it. Wolfenstein. But, yeah, back then it was like, on console.
It's hard to go back to FPS.
Yeah, it is.
Really
it is.
Hard. Really is.
Unless you're on a mouse and keyboard, that's where you can pick up some ground.
Even Halo was a little sluggish.
It was.
But, yeah, at the end of it, it just becomes straight gunplay. Like, you're... you're just mowing people down left and right. It just says, okay, screw the stealth, let's go. And you you get into this elite mech, and like you're firing missiles, you're going through this really ornate like mansion, just mowing people down. And you get to the warden, whose name I think was Hoxie, and he's like this really elaborate, like looking pristine general who what you do to escape is first of all, you get in this fight with Johns, and you end up killing Johns. No, I'm sorry, you don't. Hoxie goes up into this like little sealed area in his room, and you fight all of his little like special guards that he has, and you kill him, and then you bring him down. Mm. And the guards are on their way up to find you, and Johns is injured on the floor, and you pull Johns up, and you're like, hey, can you walk? And he's like, yeah, just don't make me run. So what they did is they took Riddick's clothes off, put him on Hoxie, and taped him in a chair facing the door with guns pointing out, and then dimmed the lights and put everything on so it looked like Riddick. And the guards coming in ran past Riddick and Johns. Like, Riddick was dressed up like a soldier, and Johns is dressed up like a prisoner being marched out. And the guards that were coming up said, okay, if we see Riddick, shoot on sight, shoot to kill on sight. And they open the door, and they see him and just murder their own warden right then and there. And that's the end.
Shit.
It's such a cool ending of the game. Like,
oh shit!
I've never really, I've very rarely come across a game where I ebb and flow between liking and disliking so much.
Yeah.
But looking back on it,
sounds like it.
It was great. Yeah. It was a really cool game, and it's unfortunate that it flew so far under the radar at the time.
Yeah, I'd probably heard of it, but I would have thought, oh, a licensed game, the tie-in with the film, like, nope.
And that's interested. The thing, movie games are trash.
They are trash.
They are absolute trash.
Generally speaking, they are 90%.
And the other way around, too, movies based on games, trash.
Yeah, yeah.
Except Ratchet and Clank.
Yeah,
that movie was great, and then the game based on that movie. So it's a game based on a movie based on a game.
Yeah, yeah,
it was great.
I'm trying to think of it. Yeah,
you know, but this kind of broke that mold.
Yeah,
this was good. It just was very poorly marketed.
Definitely, because when I played it, I was like, "Oh, this isn't just some throwaway licensed like quick get it out trash like to meet with the release date of Chronicles of Riddick or whatever, or Pitch Black, is it?
Yeah,
Pitch Black.
Well, no, it wasn't. It didn't come out with that.
No, but I was wondering if it had come out.
Pitch Black was 98, 99.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, this used that same character.
But he's called Riddick in Pitch Black. Mm-hmm. Okay, got it.
Yeah. I believe this was. I read somewhere, and I need to verify this, but it was made by Tygon Studios, who was created by Vin Diesel. It's his own gaming studio.
Really?
Yeah.
He's into games?
Yeah, he's a huge gamer. I want to make sure I had the name of that right.
Because he's the Wheelman as well. No, you know that game, Wheelman? Did you remember that one from PS...
Yes.
3 and 4? It might even be
PS4. I thought it was called Driver, You Are the Wheelman.
No. Oh, no, you're thinking of Driver, which is the Driver : You Are the Wheelman.
Yes.
But there's a game called Wheelman, and it's a picture of Vin Diesel on the front. Basically, like, it is modeled basically on him, and it's a really fun fairly under the radar-ish game. Yeah, it's really fun.
So yeah, it's Tygon Studios, owned by One Race Films, focused primarily on games featuring actor Vin Diesel, who founded the company. So he made a game studio that says, hey, put me in all of my own games.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So,
Sani 72, Return of the King for PS2, fantastic game.
Oh.
Those Lord of the Rings games
were
so good.
Yes. I played one of them. I don't know which one it was, though, but it was the one. This is sound exceptionally vague. This is loads of people on the screen. It's a full on battle in the middle, like fast paced action, like just sword fighting and craziness. I don't know, maybe they're all like that, but this was like
Kingdom Under Fire.
Two Towers.
Oh, you're talking about one of the Lord of the Rings ones.
Yeah, it was.
Well, yeah, I'd have to have the one that has a Battle of Helm's Deep then.
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah, so Two Towers.
It was really cool, and I was like, oh man, that's
So the only games they've done, Chronicles of Riddick, Escape from Butcher Bay, Wheelman.
Is Wheelman there as well? Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah. Assault on Dark Athena, Riddick the Merc Files. It's a top-down stealth action game. And then in development, Barca BC. It's an MMORPG. Still in development for 13 years.
Hey, they got some bugs to fix.
Yeah, no kidding.
And the story's right.
They haven't done much. They're very...
So, actually, this is a good point. With Chronicles of Riddick, Return of the King, you think of one more? You think of another game that is based on a movie that was like... doesn't have to be exceptional, but it's like a good crack at it. I'm trying to think
Lego
of
Lego Star
one.
Wars.
Lego Star Wars?
Yeah, they did all of the Star Wars franchises.
Oh, yeah, they did.
Well, let's
those
see
games are good.
Let's cheat. Games based on movies.
Because I was thinking there's some of the like Batman games, but they're not
GoldenEye,
really.
007, N64, that was based on GoldenEye.
Yeah, actually, to
that
be fair,
great.
The campaign is...
Spider-Man 2?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
it see? Is. And,
E.T. for the Atari?
No.
Episode 1 Pod Racer, yes!
Yeah.
I love that game.
We did that for the show.
Sort of.
No, did we?
Sort of.
Oh.
See, Assault on Dark Athena's there.
Wow.
Let's see.
Good.
Middle-Earth, Shadow of Mordor. That wasn't really based on a movie, though.
Knights of the Republic.
Wasn't really based on a movie.
No.
Like, we're talking, like, straight based on a
movie.
Yeah,
yeah.
Let's see here. Blade Runner? That game wasn't good.
There was a Blade Runner game?
The Thing!
Is that good?
That's going to be on my list of games for next year. The Thing is fantastic.
Is it a... which generation?
PS2. It's a horror game set in Antarctica.
Oh.
Dude, it's so fun. It's based on the 80s John Carpenter movie.
Yeah, I remember the movie. Yeah, when he puts the hand in the...
It's so violent.
And he takes it out, and it's... I've just terrified me. Apparently... if you read up on how they did that scene, it was really interesting, apparently.
Oh, really?
I think they actually... someone's probably going to correct me on it, but, like... I think they might have done another take where they used the guy who literally didn't have an arm. Like,
oh.
It was cut there, and so it made it look super realistic. I can't remember exactly, but I think it was that.
Yeah, we have to play The Thing.
Okay. I'm down. Dan's down. I'm just speaking for him.
Yeah, Mike, he'll probably be gone that show. So, yeah. That's Riddick. I mean, it's hard to talk at length about those games, but it's good.
It's the nature of
like,
them, yeah.
It's just a good game. It's really hard to quantify because there's not a lot of games like it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it definitely stands on its own as worthy of playing.
Yeah.
Because of the different elements, it shows that you can have phenomenal story mixed with stealth, mixed with action.
Yeah, it's like there's like a blend of genres to keep you kind of interested. Like,
and it switches pretty frequently between them.
Mm.
So,
oh, that's neat.
Let's see. We're going to go to our Facebook page here, see what we've got for some comments and questions. Let's see. Facebook.com/group/factory-sealed-podcast-community? I think that's what it is.
Is it? I thought it was just podcast.
No, I don't think it is.
Good Lord, one of these days.
Oh, yeah, it is just Factory Sealed Podcast. I gotta find the announcement. Because Mike changed it recently. So.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
That's just what Mike does. He just...
I just gotta look for the picture with my big face on it.
God damn it, Mike.
Yeah, I don't know.
Somewhere. It's somewhere we have a bunch of questions and comments and concerns.
We've got them somewhere. We probably, you know, this is something that we should have done prior to recording, but...
This is not a thing. No, that's not what we do.
No, not at
all.
It
wouldn't be a live show without...
Oh, I know how to find it.
Wrong.
Let's look at Dan's pictures that he likes to update. In the meantime, while I'm looking for this, tell us, you've gotten into the 3DS.
Oh, yeah. Eric kindly, lent me his old 3DS because he's got the new shiny one, the new
I got
new
too 3DS, many
whatever you call it, the new
the new 3DS XL Plus,
yeah, the XL Plus Turbo, whatever the fuck. Yeah, so this is actually first time having to go on the system. Took it on the plane. What did I play? Link Between Worlds.
Yes, or as you texted me,
A Sync Between Worlds. Different game. Different game entirely. No, that one was a washout. And then, what else? Oh, yeah, that's all I played. That's all I played in the plane. I tried it for about half an hour.
You know what we need to talk about very
I'm
briefly?
Enjoying it.
Sandy, what's he talking about? March 11th? Oh, the post.
March 11th.
The Post is back on
the
show. Thank you.
Thank you.
So, we need to talk quickly about two things. First of all, Kingdom Hearts, the story so far, has had a reprint.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I was looking for that when it first came out. Couldn't find it.
So that's back on the shelves.
That's back on shelves. I did buy it. It's on my shelf, sealed next to my other Kingdom Hearts games.
Of course. Of course it's sealed.
But we need to talk real quick about Sekiro.
Oh, I completely forgot about that.
You haven't played it.
That's because I haven't played it. I have no connection. But I have watched you play it.
Sort of. Yeah, because I streamed it for you.
I had a little look. I had a little gap. I know what it's all about. I know the deal. You know, trying to break people's stance.
Yeah.
Trying to stagger them. And
I'm sure...
intense difficulty spikes. And
we'll talk a lot more about this on Sunday, but like, you'll see a little bit of this. It's not a Souls game.
No.
It looks...
It's a From game.
Yes.
But it's not a Souls game.
It looks like a Souls game. It sounds like a Souls game.
Yeah.
And it plays like a Souls game.
It looks a bit like one, too. Like,
but it's not a Souls game, and you cannot play it like a Souls game. At all. It's brutally difficult.
Yeah.
And I consider myself...
And you're really into these games. Like, you own all of them, and you finished all of them.
I consider myself really good at these styles.
And you're competent at these games. Like, you even did a whole YouTube series walkthrough on Demon's Souls. Because you knew that game, like, the back of your hand. Like, you are, in like, from where I'm sitting, like, hardcore Souls fan. And you understand how those games work and tick. So, if you're saying to me that Sekiro... is as tough and challenging and unforgiving as it is. I am, like, nervous about to go near it.
So here's the thing about it, is that I was actually, at the point of the first boss, questioning whether or not I was enjoying it.
It's understandable.
That's how difficult
it was.
I'm
like that. If things are too hard, like, way too hard, I'm like, you gotta have fun when you play these things, right?
Yeah.
And so you can't just be like... But there is a fine line. Sometimes you might not be having fun, and it can be like, oh, I need to work through this because I know there's some satisfaction on the other side of the fence. You know, I get that.
And that's...
That's a nice part.
That is it,
because then you get the fun from getting it and doing it.
You have to... You do eventually hit a point where it clicks.
Yeah.
The combat in this is all about timing. It's all blocking. So in Bloodborne, they introduce parries.
Yeah, parries.
This is 100% parries. Parries, dodging, and counters. And it's all watching enemy movement and countering exactly when they hit, and then taking advantage of minuscule windows of opportunity. And then being killed.
Yeah.
It's just brutally difficult.
And you can't take many hits.
Not many at all, no. But yeah, we'll definitely talk way more about that on Sunday, because
Dan's played it. Yeah. And you guys will have more to...
And then by then you'll have a chance to have played it for a little bit.
Yeah.
So, that's...
I'm intrigued.
That's it for Chronicles of Riddick, and, you know, I don't...
Yeah. That's it for
Chronicles of Riddick. I like doing these shows where, like, we're in person. I think we should all just move to the same city.
I know, it's so much easier, they're so much nicer, so much... They work, so they gel really
Maybe
well.
If our Patreon was a little bit more substantial.
Hint, hint.
We need the dollars.
Make it happen.
No, because all the money we do goes right back into the show.
It does.
We don't need any of this for our pockets.
No.
So we're going to be back in... What's today? Thursday?
It's Thursday today, and we're back in 3 days, and we're going to cover Zone of the Enders.
Jesus Christ. Talk about a Japanese game. Holy shit.
Yeah. I've heard. Yeah.
I mean, it's...
I never played it. I'm intrigued. I want to. Just because Kojima.
Yeah, it's a Kojima game. It's a bad Kojima game.
No.
It's a good game. It's a bad Kojima game.
Okay.
Because Kojima game, like, all video games. Here's Kojima's.
Yeah.
Like, they're miles above. And then you look at this and you're like, cool menu, cool music, cool sound effects. Oh.
One of Dan's comments was that apparently it feels a lot like MGS2 in terms of sound effects and menus and stuff.
Yeah. Exactly what it is. And then you're flying these orbital frames that look like
Metal Gear.
Metal Gears with huge metal dicks. And it doesn't play like a Metal Gear. The story is terrible. The voice acting is horrendous. But the game itself is fun. I'm having a blast with it.
That's good.
We'll finish that up. I'm sure in the next couple days we'll probably
stream a game or two. You know, maybe we'll jump on and stream some Way Out, or
we should do stream some Cult. That'd be good.
Yeah,
or even just
But until then,
oh god, here comes the music.